don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Say anything incriminating, I'll try.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know that, though. I guess to start out this, if you want to introduce yourself and give a little information about yourself.
My name is Neil George, single dad, and indie comic artist.
So, how did you get into comic art?
Probably when I was younger, probably about 10, my parents bought a convenience store, and they had a rack of comics, and the first comic I ever got was Nova number 12 with Spider-Man on it by Buscema, and I was like, this is really cool, and I just fell in love with the art and the stories, and from that point on, I was hooked.
Yeah, similar. I first started buying old man convenience stores, too, back in the day and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go to school for art?
No. I'm full-blooded Portuguese, and my parents are very old school, old country stuff. And they knew I had artistic ability, but from what they saw, they're like, artists don't make any money till they're dead. So they got me into graphic design, and I went to college for graphic design and everything, but art-wise, I never took any, like, formal art training. You know, the usual art classes, you know, draw this bowl of fruit or this curtain or whatever. But besides that, no. I started drawing comics when I was little. I'd get the Marvel Universes and the DC Who's Who's, and I'd trace the characters. And I'd trace the shapes and stuff like that and try to make my own characters. And then after a while, I was like, you know, I think I can draw this without tracing it. I'll try to copy it instead. So I started copying it, and I got better and better. And from that point on, I got a couple of books that were recommended to me. How to Draw Comics, The Marvel Way, Will Eisner's book on sequential art. I bought The Wizard. Wizard used to have a monthly article about how to draw, and I got the collected edition when that came out. And most recently, the book, it's like my Bible that I'm learning from, because I'm trying to combine digital. So what I'll do is I'll take my layouts and stuff like that in pencil, scan them in, and then bring them into – I haven't decided between Manga Studio and Photoshop. I've used Photoshop for 10 years, but my Manga Studio is – that's what it's made for. So I've been using Manga Studio, and my Bible right now is the DC Comics Guide to Digitally Drawing by Freddie Williams II, who currently he's doing, I think, Masters of the Universe Thundercat crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, he did like JSA All-Stars, he did Robin, and right before this, he did the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover.
So you're just now getting into doing digital art?
Yeah. I know I'm late on the wagon. I'm old school. I mean, I don't think it'll ever fully replace. It can replace the paper and pencil, you know? It has that ability. But it's something about the feel of the paper and the pencil. And it's, you know, you can't do it digitally at conventions, you know, when you're drawing for people and they want a piece. That's probably the thing that's the most the difference between the two, is that at the final result is that, okay, I have this piece and I can give it to this person and it's tangible, whereas the digital version, I can make copies and send it to whoever and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm much the same way with ebooks. Like a lot of people are like, why don't you table at a convention or some kind of thing? And I'm like, well, I don't really have anything to table at a convention and stuff, really.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know a lot of writers. Their biggest complaint is like David Walker and a few others. They're always like, you know, it's great going to conventions, but because like you have it easy. I'm like, why is that? They're like, well, you just got to bring some art supplies and some paper and stuff. I'm like, yeah. He's like, and besides your setup, I'm like, yeah, but besides my setup, I have to bring all these books that if they want, if they want to buy, it takes up a lot of space. I 9 times out of 10, I have to ship it.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, it's kind of a pain sometimes, but I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
A lot of artists I know, it seems like if they start out doing digital, they're fine with just doing it. But if somebody starts out not doing digital, they kind of are still both ways.
Yeah. Like Freddie, I talked to Freddie quite a few times and we've become close. And I know a lot of guys in the business, a few of them I can actually call friends. They're from the old school, like Sergio Cariello, amazing artist, very, very Joe Kubert style, but has his own. And he actually recently, he's probably the most famous now for doing the Action Bible. He did, which was, good Lord, I can't even imagine. He did, it was like, it's like 195 pages. And because they got in touch with him to do the illustrated version, the new illustrated version of the Bible. And he's very religious, so he agreed. And it's like, it's amazing. Just page after page, it's just beautiful stuff. Him, Jim Fern, Freddie is probably the only friend I have. Freddie, Pete Woods, that Freddie is completely digital. He always, when he first showed his portfolio, I remember him telling me that he showed his portfolio and they were all prints. You know, they were just printed out. You know, and the guy reviewing the portfolio was like, you know, these are very nice. You didn't bring the originals. He's like, those are the originals. They're all digital. I don't have any. He's like, oh, they're all digital. He's like, yeah, that's, I just printed them out. He's like, oh, okay. Because the guy, because this is back, good Lord, this is back, I want to say like 99. Because I think the first thing he ever did for DC was the Mr. Miracle miniseries for the Seven Soldiers of Victory. So that's way back then. So they were like, oh, it's all digital. He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, okay. And so now, you know, and tell you the truth, unless you have, I mean, you know, it's the lot of problems with doing digital is you have to have a little bit of money to start it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because you have to have a decent computer, whether it be a desktop or a laptop, you know, little computer with decent memory, and you have to have some sort of a drawing tablet. Trying to do it with a mouse is a horror show. I started out with a mouse and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I can't. This is ridiculous. Some sort of drawing tablet. Now there's Cintiqs, which most of us drool over, but you can get a small one for fairly like inexpensively, maybe like $200. You can get a small one, like almost like a tablet where you can draw on it, which is my next purchase once I save up some money. So right now I'm getting back on the book that I was working on about a year ago that I had to put on hold. So if all goes well, I should be hopefully done with it by the next convention season.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Is he the same artist that worked on Batwoman?
No, that's J.H. Williams.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. A lot of people confuse him. Yeah, Freddie Williams did like JSA All-Stars. He did Robin for like the last, I want to say, 30, 40 issues. Right before he became Red Robin.
Okay.
When they finally made Robin look cooler with the black cape and the thing on the arms and the red. Yeah, that was Freddie. He did that.
Oh, that's cool. Do you remember, like, the first time you ever, like, made art, made money from your art?
Yes. Yes, I did. I was living in Florida, and I had gone to MegaCon one year. This is controversial right now with people selling, you know, independent artists selling prints of like Deadpool and Harley Quinn. And the thing is, and they haven't worked for any of the companies, and people go, well, that's copyright infringement, you know? And I'm like, I don't see it that way, because it's not like the person is copying artwork. It's their artwork. It's just of an existing person, you know? And I remember talking to a friend of mine, Elliot Fernandez, who is an amazing artist too as well. Right now, I think, I don't, can't remember what he did, but he did a few page, he did a few backup pages for Harley and Power Girl, and most recently he did the cover for Army of Darkness, Ash for President. Oh. Yeah, he's an amazing artist. He does this you know, little, I don't know if this one's on YouTube. It's not YouTube, it's that other like tech or teach or Twitch. It's Twitch, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah,
think...
yeah. He does this channel on Twitch where he draws, and it's beautiful stuff. He's amazing. But yeah, I talked to him for a while. I was like, you know, yeah, I was at MegaCon with all my stuff. It's all my own characters, you know, and I wasn't making any money, and I didn't make anything that weekend. I think I made like, I don't know, $40. And he's like, well, you have to give people a variety, like large and small prints. I'm like, yeah. And draw whatever's hot, even though you don't like it, whatever you don't. He goes, even if you don't like it, draw it. He goes, my biggest seller at the last convention was like Naruto. He's like, I can't stand the show. He's like, I hate it with all of my being. He goes, I don't like, he's like, I like very few anime things. He goes, but it's sold. And, you know, if that's what it takes to make money and have people look at your other stuff, great. So I was like, all right. So I did some popular characters because I'm like the fan of the obscure. If you ask me who my favorite Marvel and DC characters, 9 times out of 10, you either won't know who they are or they're so obscure. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Because my favorite Marvel character would have to be Damon Hellstrom, the son of Satan. And my favorite DC character would probably be the Creeper. So I started doing, you know, Harley Quinn and, you know, Joker, Two-Face, popular stuff. And I did this Harley that's in a straitjacket. To this day, it's my most popular piece. And when I did it, I swear to God, I got a shoot for mediocrity, because every time I do something and I think it's really good, people go, yeah, I like it. But every time I do something that I think is just okay, people love it. They're like, oh, that's amazing. I'm like, really? Okay. So I made small prints. I made like 5.5 by 8.5, and I made 8.5 by 11s, and then the full 11 by 17s. And the 5.5 by 8.5 sold more because you're at a convention. It's small. It's easy to slide into a comic sleeve. So I found that those were like selling more. So I would sell those for like 2 for $5. And that weekend, I think I made, I don't know, $500-$600.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very happy.
Yeah. I know a lot of... I know
as long as we break even, we're happy.
Yeah, I know a lot of artist friends tell me about how a lot of people don't understand. They go to a convention. They might not make any money, but they spend a lot of money being at the convention, shipping their materials there and everything else.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. People don't understand the table itself, the rental of the table just to get an artist alley, depending on what convention you go to, can go anywhere from like $150 to $300, and that's for the weekend. So if you don't live near it, then you got to factor in motel stay and food. So that's like another like $250. So right there, that's $550. So if you don't make at least that much, and then you have to take into account everything you print to sell. So you got to take that into account and all that fun stuff. And then also business cards, and I have a banner stand, you know, promotional stuff. You know, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, people's attention, or else they won't. They'll just walk on by. And a lot of people are afraid. I've noticed a lot of people are afraid to approach, because a lot of artists are very, very withdrawn. They're like, oh, you know, I'm just me, blah, blah. They're very shy sometimes. I'm not like that. I'm very outgoing, and I like talking to people. So if I see them looking my way, I'm like, you know, come on up. You know, I won't bite. I promise. You know, come on up. Check it out. You don't have to buy anything. Just look if you'd like. You know, and but I noticed somebody give me a pointer. A friend of mine was sitting with me at the last convention. And she told me that she noticed a lot of people like watching me while I'm drawing. So my next task will be trying to – I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So while I'm drawing at the table, that people can see what I'm doing. The only thing I can think of is like a big mirror behind me. But I haven't figured out yet how to do it.
Yeah. I know recently the first convention I attended professionally was ALA, American Library Association, when they had a convention in Orlando, and I got to be on a panel, and I shared a table with a couple artists, and, like, people will not come up to you a lot because they think if they come up to your table, you're going to be like, bye, bye, and they don't want to talk to you. So a lot of artists and everybody ended up talking to each other more than other people.
Right. Yeah. Or they'll come up and say, oh, that's really good, but they won't want to touch it or anything. And I'm like, you know, you can't look at it, you know? And I'm actually, when it comes to conventions and selling my prints, I'm a lot cheaper than most guys. I know how much that people usually sell for. And my mentor always gives me crap about this. He tells me that I should charge more. My mentor, by the way, being Lewis Small Jr. He did Vampirella back in the 90s when she first came back. He did the Dracula War. And then for a while with Harris Comics, they used to trade story arcs between him. He would do three. He would do a story arc, and then Amanda Connor would do a story arc. And it was just back and forth between those two. And if people wonder if those are worth picking up, the writers on all those were like Warren Ellis, James Robinson, all the writers that are like awesome in the late 90s and stuff for DC and all that, all did great stuff for Harris and Vampirella, so you got to check it out. But he told me I charge too little. I don't charge enough for what I do. Commissions, I try to charge what I think is fair. But prints, you know, I see that as people, if they like my stuff, you know, cool. They like their favorite characters, that's fine. So usually my small prints, I just sell for $2 for $5. The 8.5 by 11s, I sell for $5, and the 11 by 17s, I sell for $10. And I know that's a lot less than most people sell them for.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people like it, that's because they like my stuff and they like the way my character, I mean, they'll like the way I drew the character. So I find it flattering. So if it only cost me, you know, $2 to get a print of an 11 by 17, and I'd feel like complete crap if I sold it for more than 10. Because yeah. I'm like, you know, that's what I don't want, like a 5,000% return, you know. So
yeah. I was similar for years. I had nothing but free stuff online. And when I first started charging, I didn't know what to charge. And a friend told me, he said, charge what you think you put into it. And he's like, if you put 3 years into a book, don't put it out there just for free. You need to put a price on it because you spent three years on it and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually read an article that I posted not too long ago about a guy who collects comic art. And he said he avoids people that sell it for cheap. He said, if you don't believe enough in your stuff, why should I? He goes, I'm going to put my money out there for people who believe in their stuff that think they're good. He goes, if I think you're good, I'm willing to give you a couple of bucks to do it. He goes, but people who are just there for free, he goes, and one thing, you stay away from, somebody I knew said this, he's like, stay away from anime shows, because anime shows are mainly like teens that have no money.
Yeah.
None of them have any money, ever. And I learned that a long time ago. So, I mean, I'll go. If I'm invited, I'll go. But I usually avoid them because I'm not a big fan of anime. I just started watching Attack on Titan. But the only reason I started watching that was because my daughter, she wanted to start watching it. So I'm like, okay.
So, like, when somebody approaches you to do artwork for them, recently when I had you do of my character Pulpy, what is the information you want to see from the person when they approach you? Do you like full details? Do you like them letting you do more?
Right. Oh, it depends on the person. It depends on the character. If it's their character and they want it a certain way, I'm happy to, you know, go by what they tell me. If they have like a stick figure drawing of how they can see something, you know, I'll gladly go by that. If I come up with something, you know, that's different or that I think would look better, I usually tell them, you know, okay, and I'll do a rough, and I'll say, you know, how about this? You know, what if he's doing this? When you told me about your character, and all I said was, you know, I just need to know what he looks like and what exactly do you want him to be doing? And you said, coming toward you, holding a pilot's helmet. And I'm like, all right. So I started getting something in mind, and I just pictured him, like, walking towards you, but he's, like, looking down for some reason at the helmet. I don't know why that came into my head. But I thought the image would look pretty cool, so that's the one I went with. I mean, a lot of times when people want me to draw their characters, it all depends on what type of character it is. If it's a character, I did a three not too long ago for a friend, Rodney Lockett, who's putting out a self-published book, and one of his characters was called Killer Whale. Well, of course, I want to draw him in the ocean or something swimming, you know, so I have to find out about this character. But besides that, I mean, whichever way, you know, most people, when they ask me if it's an established character, they don't seem to mind what I come up with. But if it's a character that's already, if it belongs to someone else, they'll tend to give me some sort of direction. And it's either way, you know, whichever makes the person happy. I'm happy to do it either way.
Okay. And if anybody wants to see any merch with that on it, I'm going to start rolling out stuff, and it's on Zazzle.com/10Universe. Mm-hmm. And so they can check out that. Are you the same way with if somebody else is writing a script for you, that it doesn't matter each way, or do you have a preference that way?
I've had a couple of scripts. The book I'm working on was written originally by my ex-fiance. She took it with her, so I find it wrong to finish with the same script because she asked for it back and everything, even though they were my characters, you know. But that's the long story. So I changed stuff around. They were my characters, you know. I came up with the story, but she wrote the script. But when she wrote it, she didn't know exactly how to write in comics format, so she was very dense. And this is how my mentor helped me out. I was like, all right, dude, I can't. It was like page one, this is happening. It was like a plot format, but it was very dense. It was just like too much to happen in one page. And he read it. He's like, yeah, this is like 3 or 4 pages worth of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm having trouble breaking it down. Like, could you help me out? He's like, yeah, yeah. So I have right now, I have like 12 pages of breakdowns from him, and I started drawing them. So now I have to change some stuff. So now I have to change the main character and the whole storyline, which is not hard for me because I already had these characters in mind. So I changed it a bit. And when I get a script, usually what I'll do is I'll do thumbnails, you know, little, maybe a quarter page size with it's like little box figures, you know, and maybe some, you know, boxes to establish scenery and stuff like that. And I'll show 9 times out of 10, I'll show the thumbnails to the person I'm doing the script for. And I'll say, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Okay. From what I've read. I'm like, am I going in the right direction? Is this what you want to do? And they're usually 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, yeah, that's good, that's good. So, yeah, right now, like I said, I'm working on the book, and it's about a fallen angel, and she gets cast down to Earth. Basically, if you've ever seen the movies like The Prophecy or Legion, it's kind of like that mixed with supernatural. So she gets sent to Earth, and she fights all these things, and her only guide on Earth is Cain. From Cain and Abel, who is a priest now. And, yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be called The Sacred.
No, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Project. Very visual, probably, those topics to get in there.
Yeah, well, I've always been fascinated. I was raised a Catholic, so I always thought of, you know, the imagery was really cool. The whole, like, you know, angels and stuff like that. And when I first watched the movie The Prophecy, I was like, ooh, this is dark. This is cool. And then a lot of the stuff that he says in the movie, I actually went to a Christian bookstore afterwards, and I found out that according to legend, that's actually a lot of it was true. So I was like, really? Like in the movie when he says, you know how you got that dent above your top lip way back before you were born? I told you a secret. Then I put my finger there and I said, shh. And I was like, and then I went to the Christian bookstore and I found out that supposedly when you're in the womb, the Archangel Gabriel comes to you and tells you God's plan for you. And he puts his finger on your top lip. And that's how you get that little dent.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Yep. That's really interesting, that stuff. You were talking earlier about your two favorite characters you like, which I like both of those characters too, the obscure characters. Which characters do you think don't work very good visually in arts that you can think of? Because I know a friend of mine wants to say, like, he says he doesn't like the character Ghost Rider. I love that character visually, but I don't necessarily like him as a character as much. Right. Do you think there's, like, a character that you think of, like, just doesn't work visually that you would change?
The only reason I would change certain characters that are established would be probably probably because they're just too I'm not going to say difficult, but too technical looking. It's too, like, tedious. One of my favorite characters growing up was Spider-Man. If I ever got hired to draw Spider-Man, I would be two things. I would be the most excited person you ever saw, and I would also be the most frightened person you ever saw. Simply because drawing his costume would be a pain in the behind. It would, you know, oh, dear Lord, the webs and just the way they always have to go a certain way. And it all depends on how he's moving, and oh dear God. But visually, the who doesn't work? I mean, I've seen costume changes on characters before, and I can't think of anybody off the top of my head who really doesn't work. I've never been a fan of Superman, but that's just me. I've always thought that Captain Marvel was cooler.
I agree with that, too. I'm a big Captain Marvel fan, actually.
Yeah, so I was a big Shazam fan, and all that. But, no, visually, I don't think I can think of anyone that just didn't work for me visually, and unless it was... Actually, no, I take that back. There was somebody up until recently that did work for me, but then they changed it to become really cartoony, and now she doesn't work for me at all. Is Squirrel Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had her in the New Avengers and everything, and they had her, like, at one point, she sparred with Wolverine and kicked his ass. And now she is in her own comic, and it's very, very cutesy, and it just, I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way she looks with, like, buck teeth and all that. Yuck.
Well, you were talking about Spider-Man. I've read where some artists don't draw hardly any webs, and other ones try to draw all the webs in there. So it variates from artist to artist who does it.
Right. That's why Ron Garney, I spoke with him, and he was thrilled when the writer decided to do the Back in Black story, and he got to put Spider-Man back in the black costume. He was freaking thrilled. He's like, I don't have to draw muscles. I don't have to draw webs. I don't have to draw any of that. I can just be dynamic and I don't have to worry about it. And I bought the hardcover. And it's just beautiful stuff. But like I said, eh.
On the opposite end of that, who in your opinion, has got the best design?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Who's got the best design costume? Wow. Truthfully, I'm a very old school guy. And one of my favorite DC characters is one that's not used hardly at all. Even in his own group, when he's part of the comic, he's not even used that much, is the Sandman. And he's got that overcoat that kind of like hooks on the top left. And he's got this like these things attached to his fingertips that, you know, creates vapor and sand and all that stuff. And he's got the gas mask. I think characters like that are very, very well thought out, probably the most intricate I've seen lately, and probably one of my favorites is by Joe Benitez, Lady Mechanica. Oh. She's the steampunk version, because she derived from a convention in Orlando, MegaCon. He went to MegaCon and he saw those people selling the steampunk top hats with the goggles and everything. So that's why he created Lady Mechanica, and he started the little steampunk thing on comics, and I was like, you know, she's pretty cool. But he can change her up anytime he wants.
Yeah.
So I'm a big female type, you know. So I'd say it's a tie. I'm like, I love Vampirella, but then again, her costume wasn't much more than a bikini.
Yeah, they just changed her costume, if you've seen it recently.
Yeah, they did. And I truthfully thought, I think they went too far. I think they went from one extreme to the other, because now she looks like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer / Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, what's with all you? It's too much. You could have just made like a bodysuit and I would have been happy. Because I'm more of the keep it simple principle. So when they come out with a character and they, you know, they come out with a nice simple design for their costume, I sincerely love it. 9 times out of 10, when there's too much to it, it kind of like, eh. Like when Jim Lee first redesigned Cyborg and he made him more like Iron Man-ish with all the armor and stuff.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I preferred the Ivan Reis when Cyborg got his own series, where they just took his muscles and made him metallic, and they can like pop out and stuff like that. I liked that look better because it's more streamlined. That's just the way I am.
Yeah. Do you like the modern Damian Hellstorm? Because I'm a fan of his too, but I like the old version of him more.
With the cape and everything?
Yeah, I like that. It just fits as that like almost Hammer horror aspect to him that I liked a lot.
Right. I liked the new version. When he had his own series, I liked his attitude. And I liked the way Stuart and Monin and Billy Tan drew him with the no shirt, with the thing. What I would do is I would combine them.
Yeah.
If I was, you know, I would still give him the collar and the cape. I would give him the old look, but I would, the trident would be manifested like it is now.
Yeah.
You know, the trident now is manifested. It's not something he just holds on to. He just, like, puts his hand out, and all of a sudden it appears half flame. So I would probably do that. But I truthfully, if given the choice, I like the original better.
Yeah.
No. Because I got the The Marvel Monsters Essentials.
Yeah.
For the first one, Marvel Horror Essentials number one. That's all it is. The whole thing is all of his comic when it was his series, Marvel Premiere. The whole thing is just him.
That was the first book that ever got me in trouble at home when I was a kid. Was finding that book in my collection of, like, Son of Satan. It was kind of on the nose.
And back then, it was funny, because back then, even though it's supposed to be upside down, pentacle on his chest, a lot of times they drew it the other way.
Yeah.
For fear, I think, of what people would say and stuff. But I think nowadays he would be perfect for a TV series.
Yeah.
Because he's the Satan's son, and he's an exorcist. Mm-hmm. What more do you need? His wife is already on TV. She's in Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
If a lot of people haven't figured that one out yet. But her best friend on the show is Patsy Walker, who is Hellcat. Yeah. So I was like, whoo. So I'm kind of hoping he pops up somewhere, like in the Doctor Strange movie. I'm kind of hoping he makes an appearance. But if it was going to happen anywhere, it would be there. But we'll see.
Okay, I'll try to wrap this up a little bit since we're doing this late. Where can everybody find you online right now?
Online, usually on Facebook, Neil George Art. And just under my name on Facebook. I do have a website, although it's really long and ridiculous because it's a free website. I really have to get another one, but the website is spyhawk824.wix.com/NeilGeorgeArt.
Okay. And are you taking commissions right now?
I'm always taking commissions.
Okay.
I'm always, you know, when you want money, yes, I'll do it. Whatever. You know, so yes, I am currently taking commissions.
Okay.
And if they go on my Facebook, they can usually find a price guide, or they can just message me and ask me for one.
Okay. And let everybody know, for anything 10 Universe, you can go to 10universe.blogspot.com and find me on Twitter at HangupWednesday. Neil, thank you for joining us. And I hope you have you on here again soon. And I'll try to list all your information in the credits for this.
Cool.
And I'll talk to you later then. Have a good night. All right.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.
You